Good evening. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Milford School Board on Monday, May the 18th at 7 o'clock. This meeting is being held electronically per the proclamation given by Governor Carney, stating per Delaware Code that due to the public health threats by COVID-19, that the Milford Board of Education would be able to hold this meeting electronically as well as other public bodies. The public is able to access this electronic meeting for the link that is listed on the website. Also, they are able to join our meeting through the audio conferences. In addition to that, after we have our roll call, we will make sure that because we are doing these meetings electronically, that for everything that we vote on, we will do it per roll call as opposed to just a voice thing. With that, I'll ask for Dr. Dickerson to go ahead and do the roll call at this time.
Mr. Baltasar Lopez.
Here.
Mr. Miller.
Here.
Mrs. Purcell.
Here.
Mr. Thompson. Mr. Besmar.
Here.
Mrs. Renata Wiley.
Here.
Mrs. Jean Wiley.
Let the record show that at this time, Mr. Chris Thompson and Mrs. Jean Wiley are not in attendance. However, we still have a quorum, so we will continue to proceed with our meeting. Can we have an introduction of visitors, please?
I can read those for you, Mrs. Wiley.
Okay.
Currently on the attendee list, we have Dr. Bobby Kilgore, Brooke Schultz, Caleb Brontrager. We have one call-in user that we'll have to ask to identify themselves momentarily. We have Ms. Edna Rust, Dr. Glenn Stevenson, Gregory Layton, Dr. Jason Peel, Mr. Jesse Parsley, Josh Griffin, Dr. Kate Marvel, Mrs. Laura Mangus, Mrs. Laura Naylor, and Terry Rogers. I do believe you must ask the call-in user to identify themselves.
Okay, so if we could have the call-in person who's doing the audio, could you please identify yourself?
Pam James.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Pam James.
Pam James.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you, Ms. James.
Thank you.
Okay. If we have all the introduction of visitors, we will go ahead and stand for our Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. You may be seated. At this time, I need to have approval of the regular meeting minutes for April the 20th, 2020.
Madam Chair.
Is there any concerns or corrections to be made?
Madam Chair, this is Ronnie Baltazar.
Yes.
I believe Mrs. Jean Wiley isn't able to access a meeting, so just wanted to FYI.
She just got on.
Okay, good. Thank you, Mr. Baltasar Lopez. Mrs. Jean Wiley, are you there?
Her microphone's muted.
Yes, I'm here. I'm finally on.
Okay, very good. Okay, welcome to the meeting. Let the record show that he has joined the meeting at 7:05. Thank you. Have we heard from Mr. Chris Thompson yet? Okay. If that is the case, we will move on. So are there any additions or corrections to the regular meeting minutes for April the 20th, 2020? If not, then I need a motion to accept.
Judy Purcell, so moved.
Okay, I have a motion from Mrs. Purcell. May I have a second?
Jean Wiley.
I have a second from Jean Wiley. Could we please have a roll call?
Mr. Baltasar Lopez.
Aye.
Mr. Miller.
Aye.
Mrs. Purcell.
Aye.
Mr. Vesmar.
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley.
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley.
Aye.
Let the record show that all those in attendance voted unanimously to pass those minutes. As far as the regular meeting minutes for May the 5th of 2020, are there any corrections or changes to be made? If not, then I need a motion to accept the minutes of May the 5th as provided.
David Vesmar, so moved.
I have a motion from Mr. Vesmar. Do I have a second?
Second from Ronnie Baltazar.
Okay, I have a second from Mr. Baltazar Lopez. All those in, let's do a roll call. Old habits are here.
Mr. Baltasar Lopez.
Aye.
Mr. Miller.
Aye.
Mrs. Purcell.
Aye.
Mr. Vesmar.
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley.
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley.
Aye.
Let the record show that it was passed unanimously with all those present. Are there any changes or additions to the agendas?
No.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is our public comment. Are there any persons that would like to make a public comment at this time? If not, then we will move on to superintendent reports.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Just like to spend a couple minutes here with some recognition. First, congratulations to Lulu Ross teacher Michelle Davis for being the nominee for the Delaware Excellence in Education Award for inspiring educational experiences and commitment to Alpha Delta Kappa. Milford High School's Callie Bennett and Moses Martinez were recently recognized as Delaware Secretary of Education Scholars for their outstanding academic achievement. Congratulations to Callie and Moses, and please follow our Facebook page for senior college, military, and workforce commitments, as well as a scholarship awards. Congratulations to Milford Central Academy, Milford High School, Miss Blaine Elementary for being recognized as 2019-2020 Delaware Unified Champion Schools by Special Olympics. They will receive a banner for their achievement. The schools joined 2018-2019 recipients Benjamin Banneker and Lulu Ross. Congratulations to Jen Legg, Morris, Kim Webb, Lulu Ross, Sandy Tinsley, Banneker, Jen Nichols, Miss Billion, Kristen Schlegel, MCA, and Amy Roscoe. Milford High School for being recognized their school's Teacher of the Year. Awesome job to Lulu Ross first grader Landon Jones for helping to lead food donation efforts for families throughout the community. We also thank our entire district community for their support of the class of 2020 seniors through numerous initiatives such as community members supporting seniors on the Milford High School Adopt a Senior Facebook page. This was set up by our families, congratulatory sign-ins and billboards, and senior pictorial tributes in local media publications. The Medina and Silicata families are assisting us with billboards on Route 1. And thank you to United Church for helping with billboard designs, as well as sponsoring another billboard on Route 1 and additional congratulatory signs in the greater Milford area in the coming weeks. And Mr. Parsley and Dr. Marvel will discuss a little bit about where we are with our senior event plans here at this moment. Thank you to Mama Maria's for donating thousands of meal kits to families. Thank you to Senators Dave Wilson and Colin Bonini and Representatives Charles Postles and Brian Shoup for setting aside community transportation funds for us to be able to pave the entrance lane in the Banneker's bus parking lot. And Dr. Stevenson will have a proposal for us here a little later in the meeting. Summer feeding programs, just kind of more to let people know what's happened as far as this summer. We will continue as is, like we are doing right now through June 19th. And we expect to continue operating in a very similar manner throughout the summer. So any changes, we'll make sure we communicate, but we are fortunate and thankful that we're gonna be able to continue feeding families in the summer as well. As far as summer school, and Ms. Mangus may have a little bit further information later on, I'm here in the meeting. We will have summer school this summer. It's a major priority for us. Summer school will be virtual for secondary credit recovery. We will begin summer programs for our special needs, English learner, and some other students virtually, but are making contingency plans for bringing some students in for small group instruction, if we're eventually permitted by the state this summer. Okay. Any questions?
Are there any questions from the board in regards to any of that? Okay, I think it's good that we are working on, this is your board president. I think it's good that we are looking at what we can do for summer school, especially for some of our students who have missed out on the regular school year.
Our team right now is very much planning for whether we can even extend the numbers as far as, even if it's virtually this summer, to make sure they're ready for on grade level their next fall.
Very good. Are there any other questions or comments from the board? If not, then we
I have a question. Kevin, for those that are in summer, for summer school, you said that you're reaching out to those who had didn't have the opportunity or had difficulty with their learning through virtually. How are we going to do that if they're still having problems?
We're going to be able to identify some students here and reach them out in some small groups. Dr. Amory here, she's spending much time with this here, but really identifying some of those students really that have been actively engaged. And obviously, if you have some that have had some issues, really trying to find other ways to connect them with some learning opportunities this summer. But really trying to expand. We have some kind of summer bridge programs. That's not the correct word there, I guess, but in a lot of different ways, our Voyager program, some of those different type of programs during the summer to prepare students for the next grade level. We're hoping to expand and a little bit shift some of our focus where we've been in the past too, to bring on some other students, probably in a little bit smaller groups as well, so they can connect in smaller groups with the individual teacher here and really help them be on target here as we start next fall. Dr. Amory, do you have anything to add with that there? I know you were discussing that here the last couple of days with the team.
No, I could just add that through our opportunity funds, we had originally intended to develop a summer program for elementary called Voyagers, which was a bit of a spoof off of our Ahoy after school program. And it was intended to kind of do or provide for our students the opportunity to, in essence, have a preview of the curriculum that they would be encountering in the next academic year to kind of help give them a start to the school year. And then we also had identified a program called Beginning Buccaneers, which was intended to provide some opportunities to children as they were identified during the kindergarten registration process. And if they had struggled with any of our school readiness screeners, and we would also offer to them. So obviously with the changes in our current situation, we're trying to adjust those programs and how they may look and feel in a remote environment. And we are highly aware that there is a concern with accessibility. So we're talking about how we can identify staff to perhaps actually travel to homes and offer learning packets and or even potentially meet in more public areas once we're in a place where some of the community opens back up. So we're looking at all of those different options right now and looking to see how we can continue to offer programming throughout the year or throughout the summer to help prepare for next year.
Does that answer your question, Mrs.?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I will ask the board that if you would like to speak, just make sure that you do identify yourself first, just for the record, in case we have those who are just having audio. Okay, but if that isn't all, then we will move on to business with Mrs. Sarah Croce.
Good evening, everyone. Hope everyone is well this evening. I just have the monthly revenue and expenditure report. I'm trying to make this a little bit smaller so you can see it. The budget has been updated as per voted last month, mostly to make sure that we capture those changes in our transportation funds. So you can see at the state level, most things are at 100%. We did receive additional funds for our World Language Immersion program, so I'll need to adjust that budget going into next month as we prepare for fiscal year end and our May reports. But we're at just about 100% collections at the state level. On the local side, also at or around 100% collections, we did receive today our notification for our senior property tax credit information. So that will be reflected in the May local revenue. And you can see that we've really received just over 100% of our current expense tax already due to past collections. And then there's really been no change at the federal funds allocations for fiscal year 20 at this time. And then on the expenditure side, you can see that spending has slowed just slightly as we've made more preparations spending on the COVID-19 response than operationally at this point in time. We have informed our buildings and asked to do some just budget slowdown tools to make sure that we're finishing the year in a good place in preparation for what may come as we begin fiscal year 21. Just kind of the uncertainty at the state level and how the statewide revenue shortages will impact the Milford School District. So we're looking just at some of those cost containment measures, making sure that we're spending wisely and only purchasing necessary items at this point in time. The items in blue, of course, are state funds, which we're trying to make sure that we have allocated for those very specific programs. Most of the spending that you see in our contingency and one-time items budget at this time is related to COVID-19 and would potentially be recoded once our federal funds are received for that purpose. Other than that, we're really not seeing anything out of the norm at this time. We have experienced a increase in our child nutrition labor expenditures related to just the feeding program that we have going on right now. So a little bit more than budgeted, but not exceeding what they have in their child nutrition funds at this time. So they always budget with the idea that they would have a reserve in child nutrition. So they're fully capable of absorbing that overage at this time. And then the rest, the two overages at the bottom are just related to changes in transportation costs from regular to homeless or foster. So no real changes at this time. And again, we'll know more about the state level impacts. The Revenue Advisory Committee meets this Thursday, and I'm hoping to have some more information as we come into the next board meeting on how fiscal 21 looks. Are there any questions on the revenue or expenditure reports for this month? If not, I just need approval, please.
If there are no questions, I need a motion to accept the revenue and expenditure report as of April 30th, 2020 as presented.
Judy Purcell, so moved.
I have a motion from Mrs. Purcell. May I have a second?
Jason Miller, second.
I have a second from Mr. Miller. May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Baltasar Lopez?
Aye.
Mr. Miller?
Aye.
Mrs. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Vesmar?
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley?
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley?
Aye.
Let the record show that it was passed unanimously. Okay, we will move on to instruction and student programs. We have Dr. Bridget Amory, who will talk to us regarding remote learning opportunities, grading, and promotion.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bridget Amory. I've been asked to just speak a little bit about our remote learning and the grading that we've been experiencing during this time. So I just wanted to share with the board that our focus has been on student engagement and learning with teacher feedback and the monitoring of the student progress and the guidance toward the successful completion of the learning opportunities that we have been providing, whether it's been in a virtual environment and or through the learning packets. Regular engagement in the completion of the learning opportunities will certainly enhance the student's final grade for the second semester of this school year. We are highly cognizant that some students and families have unique circumstances during this time that does impact their ability to be engaged. And so we are certainly working to be very flexible and are sure to hold everybody harmless in that type of situation. That has been a critical element of our remote learning plan during this time. And we are diligently working to ensure that the students are prepared
for advancement to the next grade level. So when you start to get into the specifics of things at Morris, we're consistent with the reporting of student progress. We do use a series of S for satisfactory progress, and that will be consistent for this fourth marking period. And we've been collecting student progress data throughout the year to share with families in any student promotion discussions if needed. Every year we do have the occasional situation where a parent or a family member may request that a student be retained, which doesn't happen very often, but does on occasion happen. And so we really do want to work collaboratively with the family to make sure that we look at the whole child and look at all of the aspects of the child's development. And so we work very closely with a family in that circumstance. When we move into the elementary schools for grades 1 through 5, we actually combined our third and fourth marking periods into what we're calling a super third marking period. So we will be reporting progress on a trimester for that, for this academic year. The remote learning participation will enhance a student's super third marking period grade with the traditional student markings being used. And then for our secondary schools at MCA and the high school, the third marking period grades were finalized with extended time being provided for students to be able to complete any incomplete assignments. And then our fourth marking periods will be provided, will give students the ability to earn up to an A for any successful completion of the remote learning assignments. And one thing that we have been maintaining during this time period is each of our schools has a student support team. And so our teachers have been continuing to work with building administrators to ensure that any student who has demonstrated any type of academic or social emotional difficulty will continue to remain on that roster so that they can be monitored and discuss with it as a team what the next steps might be for them moving forward. So we certainly are really diligent in using this opportunity to make sure that nobody is being held in a harmful situation. We want to make sure that this is as positive as possible. And we also want to make sure that we work through all of any of the equity issues that we have throughout the district. Additional questions that I can help you with?
Judy Purcell, I have one question.
Yes.
As a teacher, I know in the past, we need to have things in a little bit earlier sometimes than the last day of school. And there's been some discussion in the community about some assignments needing to be done by the 12th and not by the 19th or the 18th. And so there has not been any change in when we're ending school at this point. Is that correct? And the second thing is that because they have to be turned in enough time for the teacher to be able to grade and get grades ready?
My understanding is that we have not changed the end of the school year date, and we will be providing instructional opportunities through the very end. We will be finalizing that last date of entry when the teachers submit their grades. We will need to have that date identified. That hasn't been communicated yet to staff, but because we're trying to capitalize on as much instructional time as we possibly can before we have to enter all of those final pieces and do all of the final calculations. We're hopeful that we can do that right before that last couple of days of school, being mindful of the fact that we will need to have time for our staff to complete the process that goes through the e-school system and then have all of the grades verified with administration. So those dates have not been articulated and the last date of school has not changed to my knowledge.
Thank you very much.
Mrs. Purcell, one thing we do need to acknowledge here, that we're going to need plenty of time during that last week of the 19th as far as to collect items, those type of things, you know, working on with students right now and the families starting to work on plans here for having students and families be able to come back and pick up belongings. But we're also going to need to do the same thing on the other side there as far as collecting, as far as, you know, school resources or school issued resources here during that week too. So don't really see this really going right on up to the 19th. We will have time that week so students can complete their work, and some of our last students here that needs a little bit extra encouragement at the end to really help them that last week. But for the most part, a lot of our learning activities will be pretty much finalized at the end of that week of the 12th or the beginning of the week of the 19th. But we need a good period of time here to start collecting items and for teachers to come back in, finalize grades, contact students who may need to have some extra time or extra programming during the summer to assist them to be ready for on grade level next fall. So, and also for teachers also to close out rooms. And that's going to look a lot different this year probably than we've done in the past. We're going to have small groups come in at different times to be able to clean up rooms and do some of those exit activities that we traditionally have. So we'll have to work through all that, but there are a lot of things to be done at the end of the school year. Actually, more things this year with everything that we have that have also has been also issued during this time period, and also trying to work with families to collect those in a reasonable and a healthy way too.
I understand 100%. I just wanted to make sure that we're upfront, which we have been with our district, and I'm very proud of that. And to just make sure that everybody knows when things are due and when they're not due and so forth.
Thank you, Mrs. Purcell. Are there any other questions from the board?
Dr. Amory, this is Ronnie Baltazar. I just have a quick question. Will you or the staff be communicating the whole third marking period at grades at the Lulu Ross and elementary school levels to all parents? I think it's a little confusing at first to understand what the combination of a third marking period is with the fourth. So I just wanted to see if how you will be communicating that with parents.
Yes, we will. That will actually be evident on the student report card. The way that once the information gets entered in, it will actually print out and it'll be very detailed on the student report card that the family receives. And then our teachers will also be communicating when they are getting closer to that time period. It shouldn't negatively impact a student. If anything, the decisions have been in the favor of the children so that it would end up being more favorable for them. So we will certainly work to do that communication. This has been a work in progress. So that's why we have, we've gone through these various steps. So we will make sure to have that happen.
Thank you.
Also, Dr. Marvel, I think would like to chip in or chime in here too a little bit. I think she has some discussion about the secondary there, Mrs. Wiley.
All right. Good evening. I can absolutely take some questions on grading or whatever you would like for secondary, but I am also going to hand it off to Mr. Parsley so that he can describe what's upcoming for our senior events. After he's finished, if you have questions for either one of us, I'm happy to take those.
Thank you.
So for senior events, we're going to begin our senior events on Tuesday, June 9th at 7. That'll be our senior awards presentation. We're currently developing our senior awards, which will include all of our scholarships that were earned by many of our students during the school year. We will be streaming that that evening, June 9th at 7, through our YouTube video compilation. We'll have that set to music as well. We're currently finalizing plans for our senior cruise to be held off campus. And hopefully in the coming days, we'll have that secured. In our committee, I formed a committee with numerous parents and students, and they all expressed the desire to walk the green. And we felt that that was really going to be an important part of their graduation ceremony. So this will occur through scheduling blocks of time during the weekend of June 12th. We'll provide up to four family members or supporting members. They can arrive at Briggs Stadium with the graduate, and they will come onto the track to take pictures, and the student will walk the green. We'll have the buckhead in the back of the 50-yard line, just like we do with our normal graduation. Students will be in cap and gown. They'll be walking the green. We'll have their name announced. and their parents will be with them when they get receive their diploma, and we will have a photographer on staff there to take pictures of the student by themselves with cap and gown and diploma and with their family. And that way they'll be able to provide pictures, in the future. Part of that too is that we will be live streaming. We're hoping to live stream all of those students that are walking the green and getting their diploma, streaming that live so folks can see that as they're receiving their diploma. Plus, we're recording that, and we are going to put that together with and have it look like our traditional graduation, starting with our pomp and circumstance to our speakers, our superintendent, principal speeches, class president speech, valedictorian, salutatorian speeches, and of course, our senior choral department will be singing the national anthem and a senior song. So we're going to try to make this on June 18th when we display this. We're hoping that it'll look very similar to what our traditional graduation will look like because it'll have all of the pieces. So we're hoping to be able to put that together. So our virtual graduation ceremony will be Thursday evening, June 18th at 7 o'clock. So we're going to have to grind that out a little bit as far as piecing those students walking the green, receiving their diploma. We'll piece those together, and hopefully it'll be a seamless transition from one student to next in the video that we're going to be sharing on June 18th. One of the things that we did is we conducted a survey, and we had over 150 parents and students respond, and they feel that they would like to have when health risks are minimized, they would like to have a more traditional type of class of 2020 celebration. So as things lighten up and we're provided with opportunities to do that, they felt pretty strongly that they would like to have that happen. So we'll hopefully be working towards that as well. And we really, truly want to thank the committee of students and parents, as well as all the parents that responded to the survey, for helping us develop this plan. Without their support and without their guidance, we wouldn't be able to put this together. And our plan and goal would be to send out a press release later this week with details. Any questions at this time?
Any questions from the board? I thank you, Dr. Marvel, and also Mr. Parsley. I know that the seniors are looking forward to these events very much. I know that having a granddaughter who's a senior, the senior cruise and also walking the green are two of the highlights that she's looking forward to.
Ms. Wiley, I apologize. I thought Dr. Marvel was putting her hand up earlier to contribute to the last discussion. So I hope I didn't stop that discussion prematurely. So that first part of A, when I called her in there, as far as asked for her to join, but I thought that's why she had her hand up. So I apologize. One thing I just want to point out here too, Dr. Marvel and Mr. Parsley have really done a great job working with families and students, and we're going to put together a great plan and really recognize our seniors well, like they should be deservedly so. We will have a press release out later this week, but we are allowing families to be able to hand the diploma this year to their child, to their student. So we think that's kind of a special moment this year that is a little bit new to our event this year as well.
Very nice. Well, that will be very special. Thank you. If there are no other questions, then we will move on to the Director of Student Services, Ms. Laura Mangus.
Good evening. Wishing everyone well this evening. As Dr. Dickerson alluded to just briefly, we've been working on planning for summer for both our extended school year services groups of students as well as our 12-month groups of students. We have a pretty good handle on offering an additional level of extended school year for students with IEPs. Due to the extenuating circumstances, especially at the secondary level. So the high school team has put together a plan to be able to offer algebra, geometry, algebra 2, an English 9, 10, and 11, 3 days per week for 6 weeks of our summer program for an hour a day for all of our students that have regressed in some areas and perhaps not really gotten a very solid or as solid a foundation on some of the concepts that they will need to move ahead, as well as offering ESY student by student in our elementaries and MCA, along with our kindergarten at Morris. Our 12-month program will begin as well on the 29th of June as we had originally planned, and it will begin virtually in the hopes that when and if the governor opens schools, that we would be able to return them potentially toward the end of July in very small groups, of course, keeping all of the health and safety regulations in place and potentially offering them camp therapy opportunities supported by our speech pathologists, our occupational therapists, and our physical therapists. And of course, once again, this is always based on individual student need and with all health and safety precautions in place. So we're not that far as understanding when and if the governor will allow us to start to return students in very small groups spread throughout the district, but we are working on a contingency to be in place for the end of July for about a 4-week period if that becomes permitted. If not, we will continue to offer all of those therapies via our Thera platform virtually. Are there any questions regarding those programs?
Thank you very much, Ms. Mingus.
I have a question. This is Ronnie Baltazar. It's not particularly about what you just spoke about. I would just have an interest on what your department has been doing right now for mental health in regards to, one, it's Mental Health Awareness Month, but also in future planning for next school year. This has been a stressful time for a lot of parents and particularly students being away from their school setting. So I just wanted to see or just kind of get a glimpse of what kind of services or kind of plans you have in place for that.
Of course. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. Actually, our team of psychologists have been working very closely with under their national leadership to gather a sense of evaluatory processes, especially for our students that we already have identified with regard to having behavioral and emotional disabilities. There are several recognized forms of brief evaluation that then allows us to be led to developing additional social stories and interventions for students that struggle with processing the type of circumstances that they've found themselves in over these past several months. So that is one major piece that we've been focusing on, just identifying those students, but we're working with those students now. Our psychologists are meeting with many of them via the Thera platform. We did some research and got approval through both our attorney as well as working with what's called this National Special Education Leadership that gives guidance on the legalities and HIPAA. So we've been able to keep those kids in small groups via the Thera platform to work together and gain supports. And then we're also aware and we're putting out to our school counselors an additional option with some additional social stories and interventions and guidance for them to kind of have their radar up, I guess, for lack of better explanation, knowing that while some students may not have already been identified as a student with a social or emotional disability, that the impact of something like COVID may affect many of our students differently. So we're going to have a multi-tiered approach, much as we do traditionally, but with a little more services geared toward understanding how traumatic events like this affect our students.
And we've had our wellness center specialists. They've been in contact with students. Our counselors have been had identified groups that they're prioritizing through this year too that may have exhibited some past mental health concerns. Also have our school nurses also connected with a group of students and our family interventionists. They have a list here, you know, as far as where they go, they have a list here of needs for students that we are meeting a couple of times a week on a regular basis here, making sure we had the correct resources connecting with these students as well, Mr. Baltasar Lopez. And we're able to still connect with some of our contracted services too during this time. They're able to do some virtual, you know, type discussions or counseling for students as well.
Thank you. And just to follow up real quick, I was reading a report today that child abuse reports or calls to the child abuse hotlines have decreased. While that may seem like a very good thing, it actually isn't. Schools have been the place where teachers and administrators have been able to identify students who are at risk of child abuse. So my follow-up question would be, what kind of communication have we been doing either on our social media platforms or our press releases in terms of telling our families that when they see child abuse, they are mandated by law to report it?
Actually, the very first thing that we did as a district before we moved forward with any type of virtual contact or telephone contact was put a crisis plan in place that was disseminated to our entire school community. It's actually been in place and been working to contact the Department of Family Services, and it's been functioning very, very well. So our crisis plan went in place to know if anyone would see or hear something from a child or a family member and what their responsibility was and what the process was, reporting out to both building administration and district administration. And unfortunately, I have to report that we have had the crisis plan in place on several occasions and it's worked seamlessly. So we had that in place before we did anything. We also have that information out on our website and we've disseminated it in many different ways to our families.
Thank you.
And Mr. Baltasar Lopez, maybe this week here we'll come back and refresh and put something else. There's been some good guidance from the state as well. And Mr. Maston, our SRO at the high school, we just spoke about this the other day, that there's probably a lot of cases underreported at this point in time, which is very concerning. We want to make sure our students are safe during this time. I think you bring up a good point. I think for us to go out there and again, put the signs out and post, we have some media platforms, we can do that. And we'll look to do something this week in that regard.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Mangus. And thank you for those good questions, Ronnie Baltasar Lopez. We would like to move on now to Buildings, Grounds, and Operations, Dr. Glenn Stevenson.
Good evening. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted to bring to you tonight, we have some quotes in front of you there for paving on the access street, 4th Street access at Banneker. We met with the legislators a few months back and they were offering to help us out with some needs that we had. And this was one that we identified. The 4th Street access there, that road is actually original to the old school, if you remember the old school that was sitting there. And that did not get paved when the new school was built. So it's pretty old and it's in pretty rough repair. It's got three or four pretty bad potholes in it. So we got quotes and the low bidder for just that section of road, the 4th Street access. The low bidder was Jerry's Paving at $51,686. And we would like to recommend that we approve that just tonight so that we can get that work done. I would also reiterate what Dr. Dickerson said in thanking Senator Benigni, Senator Wilson, Representative Shoup, and Representative Postles for providing funds to fund that out of their community transportation fund.
So this only takes part that one bus entrance area there off 24th Street, is that correct? This has nothing to do with that.
There's a gate that we put up back when the school was, the new school was built. And it's about 20 feet short of that gate is where the new paving ends and the old paving picks up. And so we're picking up right from that joint all the way out to 4th Street.
Okay. And this estimate that we have here, this is being paid, as you said, not out of our district funds.
That's correct. It's being paid out of DLDOT's, legislators' community transportation funds.
Okay.
There, you've got a good picture of it on the screen.
I see. Mm-hmm. And also, this has nothing to do with the other construction that we've talked about with the entrance and parking there for the rest of Banneker at this
point? No, that would actually be on the north side.
Okay. All right. Very good. Are there any other questions from any other members of the board?
Yeah, this is Mr. Miller. Just for clarification, 100% of the funding is coming from community paving.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
So, if there are no other questions, I need a motion to accept Jerry's Paving as the provider for the paving on this project for $51,686.
So moved.
This is Jason Miller. So moved.
Okay, I have a motion for Mr. Jason Miller. Do I have a second?
Second. This is Ronnie Baltazar.
Okay, I have a second from Ronnie Baltazar Lopez. Are there any questions regarding the motion? If not, then we need to have a roll call.
Mr. Baltazar Lopez?
Aye.
Mr. Miller?
Aye.
Mrs. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Vesmar?
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley?
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley?
Aye.
Let the record show that it was passed, the motion was passed unanimously. Thank you.
President Wiley?
Yes.
Just before we go to the next, I just want to let our media representatives that are on here tonight, we'll make sure we get you a press release here midweek with all our senior events. So we'll make sure we send that individually here to, I think, Ms. Pillion Inc., Milford Live, and also Delaware State News. Thank you for being on here.
All right. Are there any under board discussion? We have the DSBA updates. So, Mr. Vesmar and Mr. Miller, I believe.
So I'll go ahead. I had sent out. I received from the DSBA a copy of the. It was a Chancery Court opinion on a lawsuit that came from the NAACP and the Delawareans for equal opportunity on funding for the school districts. And it's a 150 page opinion that a lot of it is kind of hard to understand if you're not in that type of business. But I'd like to read one paragraph real quick that I think kind of sums it up fairly well. So it says the county's failure, and so this lawsuit was against the three counties, Kent, Sussex, and Newcastle, on how they're doing the assessments for properties, which then gives the property the value to levy taxes. And the county's failure to update their assessments to reflect present fair market value means that year after year, the value of a school district's tax base remains flat. The amount of money that the static tax base generates at the prevailing tax rate likewise remains flat. The cost of running a school district, however, does not remain flat. Each year, inflation erodes the purchasing power of the school district's budget, requiring more dollars to achieve the same result. Even if a school district did not introduce any new initiatives and just maintained the status quo, the absence of regular and systematic assessments inevitably generates a funding gap. So I think that's something that we've all seen. I think it's something that Sarah I would have to imagine struggles with. We hear about it. I mean, you know, the tax coming in stays the same, but the cost of everything goes up. So this is just the opinion. This is not, there's going to be further proceedings to come to a resolution. My assumption is going to be that resolution will be a assessment of all properties in Delaware, a reassessment to bring all the assessments up to date, as opposed to the 70s and 80s numbers that we're using today. So I wanted to pass that on. I sent a copy of it to everybody, and I think the first 50 to 60 pages. There's a lot of good information in there. After that, it kind of gets messy for me with, you know, tax rates and ratios and stuff, you know, but so that's the only thing that I have. I wanted to make sure I passed on to the group.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think that I know that I received it. I assume that the other board members received it also to look at. And it is there for also for the public knowledge, and it has been, I know, in the news. So,
yeah. And the opinion is publicly out there on the Chancery Court website.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Mrs. Kirchy, would you like to speak to that at all, as far as the court ruling?
Sure. This is Sarah Kirchy. I think that Mr. Vesmar stated very well exactly what the opinion states, and I would just point out that it does not offer a remedy at this time. It just simply states that there is an issue and that it's been declared, against the uniformity clause and the true value statute. So I would say this is something that we've known in public education for quite some time, and that has been mentioned many, many times as causing difficulties primarily to the main foundation structure that we operate on. So I look forward to seeing what remedies are proposed in order to reach a solution. And I would also offer that as Milford School District straddles both Kent and Sussex County, it is extremely important to us, because we struggle to share with our taxpayers why we have two different tax rates in two different counties, and that can sometimes be very confusing to people. Likewise, it can also cause inequities based on the timing of their last property assessments. So I think it's a step in the right direction, and we look forward to seeing how this plays out. But we don't know at this time how it will impact us as far as collections or something like that. There is a statute that does say that districts would only be able to adjust their tax rates within a certain percentage. So it wouldn't be like an overall windfall for the districts. It would be capped per code.
Well, we've been aware of this discrepancy for a very long time. It's interesting that this judge made this decision, this ruling. It'll be interesting how that will be able to be addressed, though, and implemented. So, any other questions or comments from the board regarding that? If not, I believe Mr. Jason Miller, did you have something you wanted to share with the board?
Yes. So that opinion came out after our last meeting, which was on the 6th. So there wasn't any formal discussion on that topic, which I imagine will be a big topic of discussion at our next meeting, I believe is in June. What was the major topic of discussion, as you might imagine, was COVID-19 and the effects on the school districts. And most importantly, and what I've gleaned is the state revenue reduction that is going to be expected from the amount of money that the state is spending on COVID-19. The number I wrote down was approximately $790 million is the expected projected revenue reduction for the next fiscal year. So that's something that Mrs. Croce will be paying close attention to.
Right. Yes. COVID has definitely wreaked havoc on our budget and revenue. So very good. Any other questions or comments from the board? If not, then I need to have a motion to adjourn to executive session in order to discuss personnel matters.
This is Mr. Miller, so moved.
I have a motion from Mr. Miller. Do I have a second?
Jean Wiley, second.
I have a second from Mrs. Jean Wiley. Let's do a roll call, please.
Mr. Baltazar Lopez?
Aye.
Mr. Miller?
Aye.
Mrs. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Vesmar?
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley?
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley?
Aye.
Okay. With that being unanimous, we will be adjourning to executive session in order to discuss personnel matters. After we finish with executive session, we will come back into public session. And at that time, we will discuss the personnel report and make a motion to accept that. So we will probably be out for, I would say, 20 minutes, usually 20 minutes.
8:15 would probably be good tonight.
Okay. All right. 15 minutes. Okay. So hopefully,
We'll be back at 8:15 if you can let me know, Ms. Wiley.
Okay. So hopefully we should be back in if all of us are able to maneuver these virtual meetings with some grace at 8:15. Thank you. And we will now adjourn to executive session. Okay. All right. Do we have all the board members present? Dr. Dickerson, would you like to do a roll call, please?
Mr. Baltazar Lopez?
Aye.
Mr. Miller?
Here.
Mrs. Purcell?
Here.
Mr. Vesmar?
Here.
Mrs. Renata Wiley?
Here.
Mrs. Jean Wiley?
Here.
Okay. Just want to make sure that we all made it back. Very good. Okay. The board has been in executive session, so I need a motion to come out.
Judy Purcell, so moved.
I have a motion for Mrs. Purcell. Do I have a second?
David Vesmar, second.
I have a second for Mr. Vesmar. Could you please do a roll call for us again?
Yes, Mr. Baltazar Lopez?
Aye.
Mr. Miller?
Aye.
Mrs. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Vesmar?
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley?
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley?
Aye.
Okay. Let the record show that we are out of executive session. It was voted on unanimously. Okay. At this time, I need to have a motion to accept the personnel report as presented by Dr. Jason Peel during the executive session.
David Vesmar, so moved.
A motion for Mr. Vesmar. Do I have a second?
Jason Miller, second.
I have a second for Mr. Miller. Are there any questions regarding that motion? If not, then we need to have a roll call.
Mr. Baltazar Lopez?
Aye.
Mr. Miller?
Aye.
Mrs. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Vesmar?
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley?
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley?
Aye.
I'd like to say that the personnel report was accepted and voted on unanimously. At this time, if there is no further business, I need a motion to adjourn.
David Vesmar, so moved.
I have a motion for Mr. Vesmar. May I have a second?
Jean Wiley, second.
I have a second for Ms. Wiley. Jean Wiley. Would you do our final roll call for the evening?
Mr. Baltazar Lopez.
Aye.
Mr. Miller.
Aye.
Mrs. Purcell.
Aye.
Mr. Vesmar?
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley?
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley?
Aye.
The record showed that we have voted unanimously to adjourn. Thank you and have a good night. Be safe.
Have a good night, everybody.